Your scripture we're going to read here. Verse 14. The Bible says, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My soul knoweth right well. For just a couple moments, I want to preach to you on this title, A Design Vessel. A Design Vessel. If you would, put your Bibles down. Somebody lift up your voice and pray right now. Just cry out to God. Lift up your voice with a loud voice. Go ahead and cry out to Him. Entertain His presence in this house. Praise God. Clap your hands one more time as you're seated. A design vessel. Vessels of all sorts and kinds and for all sorts of uses were so familiar as to make them natural illustrations for different sorts of human beings. A container for holding something. A person into whom some quality, such as grace, is infused. The word vessel has passed into Christian theology as signifying simply a human being. God created many things. He created the sun. God created the moon. God created the stars. He created the fish of the sea. He created the fowls of the air. He created the beast of the field. But all creation points to the grand finale, the creation of man. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth about the earth. One of the first things that you need to understand is that you were created in the image of God. Does anybody know that today? That when God created you, he created you with a purpose and with a plan, and you were created in his image. He got down and he started to form you and shape you and make you who he wanted you to be. We were created in the image of God. But the question that every man has to wrestle with is, why am I here? What is the purpose to my existence? And this question keeps the mind of those that are disconnected from God up at night, pondering his or her existence. And without a guide of biblical truth and biblical understanding, man may grow frustrated with this void that they may feel, because they inherently or instinctively know that they were created for a reason, and there is a reason for their existence. They're here for a reason. They understand that there's something that I have to do. There's some reason that I've been put on this earth. But I want to preach for just a minute to everybody under the sound of my voice and let you know that you are a design vessel, and that God created you with a purpose and with a plan, and that God has something for you to do. God has somewhere for you to go. God has people for you to meet. You got to stand up in the house of God understanding that God created you with a purpose. The Bible says in Psalm 139 in our text that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I want to tell you today that you're not here because of a big bang, or you're not here because of some cosmic thing that happened in the universe, but you are here by intentionality, and God knew exactly what he was doing when he put you on this earth. When you started to cry your first cry, there was already purpose on the inside of you. There was already a destiny on the inside of you. You've got to get an attitude and understand that you're here for a reason. He tells Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down. God knows exactly what he's doing. It's Sunday night in the house of the Lord, and I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came to you to just let you know as a reminder that God created you with a purpose, that you are here for a reason, that there is something for you to do, that before you were in the womb, God already saw this day, and God already knew who needed to be here right now. He could have pulled David in this day. We'll talk about David a little bit. But he could have pulled David into this time frame for him to live in and do the heavy lifting of the day. But God didn't need a David. God needed you to be here right now. With all of your flaws, with all of your failures, with all of your mistakes, God needed you in this day.
If I can get this out of my throat, I can preach a little bit.
God knew you before you were even in the womb. And when he hung on the cross 2,000 years ago, God knew who needed to be here right now. I'm telling you right now in the Holy Ghost, you probably contemplated that this was the last time that you would come to the house of God, or this was the last season of your life. But I'm here to tell somebody, the devil is a liar. You got to get a hold of your purpose. You've got to get a hold of your calling. You got to get a hold of the purpose that you were created for. You're here for a reason. God wants to do something in your life. God wants to move through you. God wants to use you as a divine vessel, but you got to get on board. You got to get on board and take hold of the plan of God. You got to get on board and say, God, whatever you need, fill me up. God, I'm an empty vessel, and whatever you want to use me for, whatever you want to do in my life, God, I am willing and I am able to follow after your call, to follow after your plan. God, whatever you want of me, God, whatever you ask of me. And when you start to get that attitude, God will start filling you up with the things that he needs you to be, and you're going to be a vessel that's fit for the master's use, and God's going to use you unto his work to do good things for the kingdom of God. You've got to get an attitude about that right now. I was created for a purpose. I was created for a reason. You're probably asking yourself, Jermaine, why are you preaching this to me? I've been in the church for a long time. I've been walking and living for God for a long time. Maybe you should preach this at a place where there's a bunch of visitors, or there is a bunch of people. And I believe that this is a good conversation for those that don't know who God is and those that don't know what the Word of God says. But I also believe that this is an excellent conversation to have with people that may have lost their way of their purpose and the plan that God had for them. Sometimes you just got to get reacquainted with the reason that you were created. Sometimes you got to go back to whatever God told you you were going to be. Sometimes you got to search for the person that God created you to be. This is not old news. You were created with a purpose and with a plan. And I'm telling you, before we get out of here tonight, I want you to know that. I want you to wake up in the morning with a new perspective and a new understanding. This is nothing that you've ever heard, nothing new that you haven't heard before, but this is something that you got to get retethered to right now. This is something that somebody needs to hear right now. We're in a season in the church, not particularly this church, but in the church at large. A couple months ago, there were at least two or three people in the church that lost sight of what God called them to be. One of them was a young man. He was probably about 15 or 16 years old, and he committed suicide. An apostolic young person, sitting in the house of God with Acts 2:38 at his fingertips, with the Bible at all times, coming to church, just playing the part, clapping when it was time to clap, jumping when it was time to jump. But deep inside that young man, there was this conflict on the inside of him, because somewhere along the line, he lost sight of who God had called him to be. Or maybe he didn't know who God had called him to be, but he lost sight of the fact that I'm created with a purpose and with a plan. I'm telling you today, this is a relevant conversation to the apostolic church. Somebody right now, I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, there's somebody under the sound of my voice that has contemplated suicide. There's somebody that's on their last leg, and they're looking for hope. They're looking for answers. They're looking for peace. I come on a Sunday night just to let you know again, God needs you in his kingdom. There is a purpose connected to your existence. And everybody looks around and we hold our hands up and we ask the question, what happened? How did the young person fall through the cracks? How did we miss the moment? How did we miss all the signs? I'm telling you right now, hear me today. God needs you. There's a purpose that God has for you. You are here for a reason, to do a specific work for God, so that you can walk in the power and the anointing that God has called you to. I know you may not be able to see it right now, young person. You may not be able to see exactly the thing that God has called you to, but don't get frustrated with having to wait. Don't get frustrated with not knowing. You just got to get a hold of the word of God, and then you got to get a hold of that God created you. He fearfully and wonderfully made you, each and every individual under the sound of my voice. And when he stretched his arms and died on a rugged cross, he saw your face, he saw your purpose, he saw your destiny. You see pictures all over social media of these people that were in the house of God. There's another situation that happened with another young lady, and she was somebody in the church. She was one of the leaders in the church, and she committed suicide, and everybody is having conversation about it, trying to figure out what happened, trying to figure out what the deal is. Why do people get to these places? I'm telling you, somewhere along the line, you lose a grip of what that calling is. You lose a grip of what that purpose is. That's why you gotta come to church. That's why you gotta get in the word. That's why you gotta have a prayer life, because you got to grab a hold to what God told you. You got to grab a hold to what the word of God told you. I'm reaching for somebody tonight. I'm reaching for somebody tonight. You can probably hide in the crowd, but hear me today. God sent somebody on a Sunday night one more time to let you know God's got a purpose for your life. God's got a will for your life. God's got something for you to do. Sleepless nights full of tears, wondering, God, why am I here? The same questions that somebody untethered from the word of God and the house of God would ask. But it happens, people. It happens. If you don't keep this fresh and top of mind, you can slip into a place where you lose grip of what God created you to be, and you lose grip of what God called you to be. And you start trying to figure out, why am I even here? What's the purpose for my existence? God, you don't really need me. I'm here to preach to somebody and let you know. We could talk about it all day. I can have the conversation with you that God can do it without you. And I believe God can still, he's still going to have a kingdom without you. But I'll tell you this on the flip side, that the kingdom of God won't be the same without you. I'm here to preach to you right now that nobody else can sing your song, that nobody else can pray the prayer that you would pray, that nobody else can preach the sermon that you can preach. There's no two fingerprints the same. You got to get on board with what I'm preaching tonight and understand you've got a contribution to make to the kingdom of God. God's got destiny on you. God's got purpose on you. You got to shake yourself right now and get a hold of that purpose, get a hold of that calling, get a hold of the mission of God. Because you start getting an attitude that will say, you know, they got it. Look at all these people. They can handle it. The church is going to rock on. You can rest assured. But I'm telling you, with your contribution and with the thing that God has called you to do, we need that at the Apostolic Church in Birmingham, Alabama. We need your song. We need your sermon. We need everything that you've got. We got to have all hands on deck. I'm here to preach to somebody and let somebody know that tonight you got to make a decision and you got to get on board with your calling. You got to get on board with your purpose. You got to bring everything that God has given you to bring to the house. Telling somebody right now, there's purpose connected to you. You think that everything is wrapped up in your little world. I'm telling you, this body of yours, this life of yours, and everything that it brings is way more complex than you can even understand or comprehend, because God put something on the inside of you, a gift, if you would, that you've got to come back to the house and you've got to break it open in the presence of God, and you got to bring it back to the church so that everybody else can be blessed from the contribution that you have to make. You got to get a hold of what I'm preaching tonight. I'm reaching for somebody that may have fallen through the cracks. I'm reaching for somebody that might have just been misunderstood. I'm reaching for you tonight and letting you know there's purpose for you. There's destiny for you. There's a miracle for you. And suicide is a real thing. I know this is pretty heavy. I tried to shake this. But I'm telling you, somebody needs to hear what I'm saying tonight. I know it's basic. I know we ain't diving deep theological information, but this is deep. When you get a hold of who you were called to be, when you get an understanding of who God has created you to be, when you start to reach up and grab for the ideal and understand, I can engage in the Missio Dei. I can engage. There's a man in the Word of God by the name of Judas Iscariot. And Judas was chosen by God. Judas was created for a purpose and created for a reason. And Judas was a part of that elite group of the 12. And I'm telling you, it's only 12 of them in the whole world. God saw something deep in Judas that Judas didn't see in himself. And Judas walked among the 12, and he walked with Jesus, and he was in those intimate settings with Jesus, and he was a part of the crowd. He was a part of the 12, and he heard the conversations. He heard when Jesus would pull him away and tell him something that was a little bit more deep and off of the surface a little bit, and Judas was a part of all of that. And Judas, no doubt, had destiny. Judas, no doubt, had purpose. And Judas, no doubt, had a calling on his life. God wanted to use Judas in a powerful way. Then we find a man by the name of Peter. And Peter, too, is one of the 12. And he walked with Jesus. And he was in the conversations. And he was there when Jesus wanted to pull everybody close and tell them the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And Judas was right in the middle of the 12, and Peter was right in the middle of the 12. But somewhere along the line, Judas lost sight of his calling, and Judas lost sight of his purpose. The Bible says that Judas hung himself in the house of God. Better yet, walking with Jesus.
The Bible says that he hung himself because what happened is his failure got bigger than his calling. I'm here to tell somebody right now, you might have failed, you might have messed up, you might have lost your way, but there's always a way back to the house of God. There's always a way back. God will leave the light on for you. God will create a trail for you to come back. God's not just waiting to crush you on top of the head, but God wants you to know you can make it back to the house. And Peter, we know the story. He said, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for you that your faith fail you not. And when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he goes and Jesus tells him what's going to happen. He says, you're going to deny me. And he hears the rooster crow. And he denies him. He realizes what he's done. The Bible says that he walks away bitterly. And he's messed up, and he's failed, and he's on the other side of God now. But the Bible says that Peter makes his way back. And you got to get this right now, because after failure, it's always difficult to make your way back to the house. So I can see Peter every step of the way wondering, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to be restored. But I know I'm just going to make my way back to the house of God one more time. I'm going to bend my knee at the altar, and I'm going to see what God will do. I got to see what God will do, because there's still purpose, and there's still destiny, and there's still a mission for you to walk in. But you got to get an attitude that says, I'm not letting anything hold me back. I'm a designed vessel. I'm not letting anybody hold me back. God created me for a purpose. And he makes his way back to the fold. And we can go through the story, but he's restored as a disciple. Do you realize that Jesus called one of the disciples Satan? And he called another of the disciples friend? The story would tell, if you didn't know anything about it, that Judas was the Satan in the group. But when you read the text, he actually calls Peter Satan. And he calls Judas friend after the fact that he failed. What's the difference? The difference is, one had a deadlock grip on his calling and on his purpose. And he says, I know I messed up. I know I might have failed. But failure is not final. Failure is not final. I got to make my way back to the house. I got to make my way back to the fold. I got to let God touch me one more time. He realized he had a purpose. He realized he had a call. And it would be Peter that would stand up bold as a lion in the book that's most quoted in this house and preach Pentecost. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And everybody in this house has heard that sermon. But I heard Pastor preach last week at East Coast, and he said, I wish Judas would have preached. All right. He said, I wish Judas would have preached. What he's saying is, the same forgiveness that was there for Peter was there for Judas. And Peter stood up and preached Pentecost. But we don't have a record of what Judas would have preached. What am I telling you today? I'm telling you that beyond the faults, beyond the failure, beyond all the flaws. Stop letting failure and flaws disqualify you from being somebody in the house of God. Stop letting your past hold you back and tell you you can't be anything in the house. Stop letting past failures and past circumstances hold you back from the call and the purpose that God has created you to be. There's destiny in this house. There's purpose in this house. Somebody's got to get an attitude that says, I'm a design vessel, and God created me for a purpose and for a plan, and I'm going to hold on to that call. Even if it gets rocky, I'm going to keep on holding on to the call. Even if things seem to be turned upside down, I'm going to still hold on to the purpose. I'm going to still hold on to the call. Everything may be upside down right now. You might not be able to see your way out, but you just got to reach up. God said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God said that I can be a vessel unto good works, meet for the master's use. God said he wanted to use me. God, I'm still available for you to use. I'll never forget when this rocked my world. We're sitting in a theology class, the Stevens theology class, probably 2 years ago. And we're sitting there, and Brother David, I wish he was here tonight. Brother David was telling his story. And he started to talk about the state that he was in when he got shot and how bitter he was towards the person that shot him and towards the world and how everything was falling apart in his life. And he didn't see an end. He didn't see a way out of his situation. And he would sit there and get upset and get angry, and he wouldn't do anything. He felt like his life was over. He felt like there was nothing left. And he said these words. He said it was like that until God designed a vessel for me. And what he was saying was, he said God created somebody just for me. He said when God was shaping and creating and forming this individual, he saw me. In my low state, in the place where I was about to give up, in the place where I was about to throw in the towel, God saw my face, and God knew that I needed this design vessel to get about their calling and get about their purpose and get about their ministry. I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost right now, there's somebody out there for you. There's somebody out there that God designed you for. You are a design vessel in the master's hand, and God wants to use you as a tool to pull somebody to the house of God. He said, and that's the moment that everything changed. It was when that person, that individual, I don't know who, even know who it was, but it was that individual that started to get reconciled with their calling and their purpose, that said, oh, you know what? I know it might be a lost situation, but I'm going to go over here and I'm going to try to reach this guy. And he goes to him and he starts to minister to him. And Brother David starts to see the gospel. And he starts to see the oneness of God. And you see him usually sitting right out here greeting everybody that's coming in the door. You know why? Because somebody got tethered to their calling. Because somebody got dead serious about their purpose. Because somebody knew I'm here for a reason. It's not all in me, but it's all in him. And if God can use anything, God can use me. Everybody has a specific call, and everybody was created with a specific purpose for you to do, and you got to figure out what that is. There comes a point in time, and hear me out today. Young person, this is a difficult conversation sometimes because you feel frustrated because you might not be able to find out what your purpose for this earth is. I'm not telling you today that you're going to leave and say, I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life. What I'm telling you is that you just got to know that there is something that God wants me connected to. It is a call. It is a purpose. It is looking up at the essential. There's an ideal person that's up there in the ether, and I've got to just continue every single day to find out who that is and find out what that looks like and bring it down into real life and actualize it every single day. I know I'm not that today, but I'm going to look in the mirror and I'm going to try to dress just like that. I know I'm not that today, but I'm going to look in the mirror and I'm going to take this edge off of me so that I can look like what God has created me to be. But there comes a point in time when time ticks on and you get a little bit older and you brushed off the moments where you should have figured out what God has called you to do, and you brushed off the moments of just, you're just existing, you're just here, you're just coming to church, going home, coming to church, going home, keep on coming to the house of God. But I'm here to tell you today that God's got something bigger for you, that God's got something greater for you, that God's got an anointing for you to walk in that you've never walked in before, and you gotta find it, and you gotta push. Woo! You get to a place where you start pushing aside the mundane. You start pushing aside what it is to be average, and you start pushing aside what it is to just be existing on a church pew, and you start engaging in who God has called you to be. You want to know where joy comes from? You want to know where peace comes from? It comes from getting in the house of God. But further than that, it comes from grabbing a hold to the call that God called you to, grabbing a hold to the ministry that God called you to. And once you get a grip on it, don't ever let it go. Don't ever let it go. I'm telling you this in the Holy Ghost right now. For my life, you get to a place where you're not satisfied with anything than what you've been called to do. I'm in that season of my life right now, and I'm being a little transparent. But whenever I pick up tools that I work with for 17 years, there's something on the inside of me. And I'm thankful for the craft. And I'm thankful for the skill. And it's given me a lot of things in my life. But God was trying to lead me to a destiny and a purpose and a call. And every time I would sit down in the middle of a work week and teach a Bible study, that was something that lit up in my spirit. And every time I saw somebody get the Holy Ghost across the table from me, that was something that lit up in my spirit. And nothing else in the world could do that for me. You get to a point where you get tethered to that call, and you get tethered to what God has created you for. I'm telling you, young person, you got to find it. You got to pursue God for it. You got to say, God, what is it? God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to be? And when you find it, you got to grab a hold of it, and you've got to never let it go, and you've got to take it seriously, because God needs you in this day. God wants to use each and every person under the sound of my voice. God wants you to be somebody in the house of God. You don't have to be a preacher, but you can teach a Bible study. You don't have to know how to sing, but whatever your gifting and whatever your calling is, I'm telling you, we can have unprecedented revival if everybody under the sound of my voice will walk in their purpose and walk in their calling and be who God has called you to be. You got to pursue after it. He talks about earnestly praying for the best gifts. Covet the best gifts. It's the same conversation. It's God, I want to be reconciled with what you've created me for. I want to be reconciled with the person that you want to lead me to. And when you start getting a hold of that, I'm telling you, there will be a moment. There will be a moment when God will start opening your eyes a little bit more, and you'll start seeing the person that God wants you to see, and you'll start ministering to the person that God wants you to minister to, and God will start giving you visions, and God will start putting you in a trance so that you can reach a Cornelius. God will start doing things like that to lead you to the person that he's called you to. And I don't know what your destiny or your calling or your purpose is, but it may just be that you want to to win somebody like Paul. It may just be that you want to go to an Ethiopian eunuch and hook up to his wagon and tell him about the gospel. I don't know what God is calling you to, but if you get about the business of the kingdom of God, you can win the person that's going to change the world. Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 8, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 9, you have Ananias and you have Saul, which becomes Paul. Acts chapter 10, you have Peter and you have Cornelius. And in each of those chapters, it leads you on a journey where the Spirit of God begins to get into your life and starts to drag you where it wants you to go and tell you, you know what? You don't need to go there. You need to go here. You know what? You need to stay here. Don't go over there. You need to go over there. There's somebody for you to reach. There's somebody for you to connect to. I'm telling you, but you got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and you got to get in the Spirit and you got to say, God, connect me. I know I'm a design vessel for somebody. God, send me to that person right now. Every story. Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch sitting in the chariot looking at the word of God. God's already begun to minister to him. Acts chapter 9, God had already met Paul on the road to Damascus. And then he sends Ananias after he starts to minister to Paul. And you can even go back to Stephen preaching and Paul being in the audience. You never know if God started to soften his heart right there. And then you get to Acts chapter 10 and God's dealing with Peter and God's dealing with Cornelius and God's setting up this intersection to happen to reach people that are already hearing the word of God. There are people in this city that are already tethered to the word of God. There are friends in your school that have already tethered and hooked up to the word of God. There are people on your job that just wish that you would get a hold of your calling so you can be sent to them, so you can start to tell them about the kingdom and the mercies and the promises of God. But you've got to get a hold of it. You've got to get a hold of that calling. You've got to get a hold of that purpose. You've got to get a hold of who God has called you to be. And it's a beautiful connection that happens in those stories where each person was ready. And there wasn't a cosmic battle to try to get them to the truth. But you're being led by the Spirit. God starts leading you to the people that want the Holy Ghost. I'm not telling you, you got to put out a whole bunch of cards and you got to reach a bunch of people. But there'll come a point in time when God will say, wake up right now. Go to Walmart. There's going to be somebody there that's standing there in the middle of the parking lot just wondering, would anybody tell me about the things of God? Would anybody tell me about the kingdom of God? But you got to be dead serious about your purpose. You got to be dead serious that God can shake you in the middle of the night and wake you up and say, go down to Target and reach the center that I've got there for you. They're already ready. All you got to do is tell them what they're reading about. I'm telling you, that's apostolic Holy Ghost revival. And I believe that it can break free in Birmingham, Alabama. Does anybody believe what I'm preaching tonight? Yeah. Brother Sam, come to me. Another perfectly good sermon that I destroyed. Oh, God. Praise God. I got a burden tonight. I got a burden tonight just to get one person tethered to their call. I'm telling you, you never know. You never know. You never know who you can reach. I was teaching a college and career. I mean, not a college and career, but a business's mission class in Tracy, California. And I was teaching them about where business and ministry can merge and the conversation surrounding that and telling them about my business and what we're doing in the kingdom and all of that. And I was just trying to inspire somebody, trying to help somebody. And the Holy Ghost swept into that place. This is on a Monday night, Tracy, California. And the Holy Ghost kept impressing on me that God was going to lead people in that group to keys to the city. And so I teach that, and afterwards I told him, I said, lift up your hands. I feel right now God telling me that you need to pray. They need land, they need buildings. It's a rough situation in California. I said, you need to lift up your hands right now, and you need to pray that God will send you to a key to us, to the city. Maybe the mayor, maybe somebody that's big up in the ranks that can give you the property. And I was praying this prayer on a Monday night. California, I was headed down to LA. I had a whole week in California, and I called T. And when I called T, he said, you will never believe what happened today. He said, the mayor of Birmingham, Alabama, was standing outside of my shop. And I'm like, say that one more time. He said, the mayor of Birmingham was standing outside of his shop. And I said, bro, that's crazy. Let me tell you what we prayed last night. I told that group to pray that God will send them to keys in the city. And while we were praying that, God was already working on the mayor of Birmingham on this side of the world. And God was already moving. What am I telling you today? I'm here to tell you right now that if you start to unlock that calling of yours, if you start to unlock the destiny of yours, if you start to unlock the reason that you were created, the reason that you even breathe every day, I'm telling you, there's more to this life than doing the mundane things of life. But I'm telling you, there's a call that's associated with your name that you can get a hold of, where you can turn the world upside down. I'm telling you, there's somebody that you were designed to reach. Stand with me all over this building. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place right now. Lift up your hands right now. Let's pray all over this house. Mighty God. Come on, somebody, go ahead and pray right now. I feel God leading the people to come to the house of God, but they need a God. They need somebody that'll hook up with them. They need a design vessel that was created to reach them right now. All over this house, these altars are open. Somebody come and pray. Somebody come and get a hold of that call. Somebody come and get a hold of your purpose. Somebody come and get a hold of what God created you to be right now. There's somebody out there right now. They're sitting up in the middle of the night, and they're just waiting for an apostolic to get a hold of their purpose. They're waiting for an apostolic to get a hold of their call. They're waiting for an apostolic to say, God, you can use me. Pray, God, lead me to him. God, help me get attached to my purpose. God, help me get attached to my calling. I'm telling you, you're going to run into somebody this week. You're going to run into somebody tomorrow. You got to open your eyes right now. You got to get a hold of that purpose of yours.
Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me. If you